need the wholeness of one. Repeat after me. We lost the key of sight. Now blind, we fear in flight. We are far from love, but silence is golden. Please observe.
Himself.
Usam, Amemart Lav Shapat Mugunanagor so far. I saw Rachinan Kamalalov. I played something, a tribute to Paul. Hopefully you guys listened to it and enjoyed it. It was the unedited version. You get to hear it if you missed it. You can hear it again tonight at 1 a.m. Sorry folks, Eastern Time, 11 in L.A. And it will probably be around 8 o'clock in Armenia or so, or in Lebanon. Anyways, a few notes before I start playing some music and we get to our topic for tonight. Classifieds. Ter mega chendes azvor astsri classified the octakordze. I can't believe it. Hayerun sri pamugudan koryev chenuzergor. It's going to cost you $50 to post something. I would have probably gotten like 50 emails where in true charge can score classified zi urishnere arjan ganen. Anyways, use it, people. It's there for you. Tomorrow night, it's a special Trick Track hour. I have a good friend of mine who will be in town performing this Saturday, and his name is Horen Muradyan, KM. You get to hear from him. I'll play some lots of songs of Horen, and we get to chat. He'll be in town. Next week, special Norenga Urpat Kisher Urpaten Arachanshush Tink Shaptiga Yerdasart Achchigimet Pidihosink Hayastan Vor special program Magenegor, actually taping Mevor Genegor. It's called 140 Dirhams. Movie Mane. It's a short film, documentary. Ye bidi khosin kiren heda 19-chi masin e as movin yev inch petkuni inch knegor yev aylen yev aylen. Is Urpat Kisher Tartsial Lovinger neres mega aysan kamin Lipananen host nerga bidella Ararat Aharonian. So we had to talk to him next Friday. Ուրեմն, առաջ որ շատ խոսիմ, այս գիշերվա topic-ը բոլոր զգարձեմ ամեն մարդ մեկ-եկի ջանչնա, that has affected them one way or another, a friend, a relative, a cousin, you name it. We all know someone that has been affected with this, and that is cancer. And we get to talk to this lady who is battling it. I don't know how far she's gotten into it. She'll tell us. She'll share her stories with us. Stay tuned. Stick around. Don't watch hockey, folks. Canadians are losing, okay? 3-1. It's the second quarter. Second period. You guys are going to get creamed. Yes, I do hate the Canadians. All right. I'm going to play some songs. And we get to talk to Katina. And the songs that I'm going to play, she doesn't know. She thinks I'm going to play Armenian songs. But it's music that her husband supplies me. Yes, DJ Nico. Enjoy it, people.
și nici nu vreau să trăiesc fără să beau. Viața mea de vagabond aș schimba-o, dar nu pot. Nici nu pot și nici nu vreau să trăiesc fără să beau. Băutură, băutură și manele și femei de șapte stele. Băutură, băutură și găgii, nu m-aș mai pleca de aici. Băutură, băutură și manele și femei de șapte stele. Băutură, băutură și găgii, nu m-aș mai pleca de aici.
Sireliner, welcome back. We are now live. You're listening to Trick Track with Set Track, and tonight's topic is cancer. And we're going to be talking to Katina. Katina is live with us from Los Angeles. She's been battling cancer. Before I put her on the line, I just want to give you guys some statistics. Unfortunately, I don't have any U.S. statistics. Their website somehow stopped at 2007. It would not give me any more statistics after 2007. I don't know why. Maybe I was doing something wrong. But for 2011 in Canada, there are 190 males. This is for breast cancer statistics at a glance. 190 males, 23,400 females. That's an incredible number. Well, before I talk about more about statistics, let's join Katina. Hi, Katina. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for talking to us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. This is definitely an issue that does need to be talked about. A lot of people run away from the dreaded C word, but I'm one of those persons that feels that it's imperative to talk about it in order to educate our society.
Well, I'm happy you agreed to talk to us. But before we go on about that C business, Katina Anunat, how come there's no R? How come it's not Katrina?
Because my parents didn't put one in there.
Simple as that, huh?
Yes, very good. And it's a very unique name. People often botch it. And I'm either affiliated with the Hurricanes.
Okay.
Or some 1980s rock band.
Wow, all right. Well, tell us, how did you discover that you had cancer?
Well, I've actually battled the beast three separate times in my life. The first time I discovered that I had cancer, it was uterine, and I had a big problem. I had a hysterectomy, and they removed all my reproductive organs, and my surgeon had placed me on estrogen replacement therapy, which was a big mistake. And about a year and a half after my hysterectomy, I was doing my regular self-breast exam, and I found a lump in my left breast, and it was, it scared me big time, and I didn't know what to do about it, and I thought, you know, it was my overactive imagination, a busy life get to me, and I put it on the back burner, like a lot of women do, and men as well, and I went 6 months without having it checked out, and then it got bigger, and I know it was pretty absent-minded of me to not have it checked out right away. And finally, one day, a friend of mine, we were swimming in the pool, and she noticed that my left breast was unusually large, and she basically grabbed my hand and took me to move my OBGYN, and they did a mammogram immediately, and they discovered a rather large tumor, and we did a biopsy, and we found that I was at stage 2.
Wow.
And when that happened, immediately they scheduled a lumpectomy, and we had the tumor removed, and I went on chemotherapy and radiation treatment. And that was quite a battle. And about 2 years after that, same breast, another tumor came back, and I opted to have a mastectomy. So, there's my story. And now I'm a big advocate for the Susan G. Komen Foundation in Fresno, California, and now Los Angeles, since I live here now. And I'm a huge spokesperson for breast cancer, and I try to bring as much awareness as I can to the public about this disease.
Okay, and is it cured? Is it 100% cured now, or you still have to go through treatments and stuff?
No, I'm cured now. Sadly, when I met my husband almost 2 years ago, I was carrying around the gene, the cells, and I didn't realize it. So we had actually gotten married right when I got my diagnosis, and I went into remission a few months ago. So I'm actually doing really well. I'm doing great, and I only needed to take a small little pill, and I didn't have to lose my hair this time. So I was rather happy with that.
Good, glad to hear that.
And yeah, it was a blessing.
How was people's reactions? I would say, like, when you first discovered it and you had to tell your family. I know Nico is very supportive. By the way, he loves you a lot. He kills me with your stories.
And I love him too. And he has seen me through some horrible times. And this big, strong, strapping DJ is the type of DJ that would drop everything for his wife and hold back her hair when she's battling the vomit from the chemotherapy. So he's very warm-hearted and he's very supportive.
Okay, and what about your friends? And, you know, did you feel odd at any point to say, you know, I'm a cancer patient, I'm battling cancer, and how was...
When I had my hysterectomy, that's something that you can't really hide from people, because you're in the hospital, and people kind of notice when you're walking a little funny, and you're out of commission for about 6 weeks. But when I was diagnosed with breast cancer the first time, I kept it to myself, and I had my lumpectomy, and when my hair started falling out from the chemotherapy, I couldn't hide it anymore, obviously. And it was obviously a huge concern for my family. And, of course, you know, nobody panicked and, you know, nobody suffocated me, but they were all very supportive, and they held my hand through it. And they, of course, tried to lift my spirits as best they could, but sometimes they failed miserably when I was, you know, letting the reality seep in that I actually had the big C word. And saying I have cancer to yourself is a very scary thing. And when you look at the mirror, look in the mirror and you look at yourself and you're bald and you have no hair anywhere and your eyelashes are gone and you look gray and you've got scars all over your body and a metaport in your chest, that's the lowest point in your life. And you need those people, your friends and your family, to rally around you. And I was blessed with some wonderful people who I've grown much closer to now because of that.
Nice, nice. What about your work? Did it affect your
work? My work?
Yes.
I was working, believe it or not, at the California Armenian Home in Fresno when I was first diagnosed. And they were very supportive, and of course I left my job when my hair started falling out, and I decided to focus on getting better, and I stayed home and took care of myself, and then I decided to go back to school when I went into remission.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, we're going to continue. All right? So
okay.
Stick around,
definitely.
People.
I'll be here.
All right. Okay, folks, we are back live. You're listening to Trek Track with Setrack. And tonight's topic, it's a dear topic to all of us. We all know somebody that's been affected with it. And unfortunately, it's cancer. Well, we have Katina from LA. She's battling it. She's cured now. And she raises awareness. Well, what do you do to raise awareness, Katrina?
Well, I know my Facebook page, especially during the month of October, since I don't know about Canada, but I know in the United States, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I have been a warrior in pink, and that is what we're called, warriors in pink. And I post things all over Facebook. My photography reflects a lot of breast cancer events. I support the Susan G. Komen Foundation in Central California, Fresno, and I donate a great deal of my time. I talk to people on the street about my cancer. I talk to my coworkers about my cancer. I'm not ashamed of it. I don't hide from it. And I'm actually proud that I came through it with flying colors. I'm very proud, and I'm not ashamed to talk about it. So whoever comes into my life, I'm more than happy to share that with them. And plus, you know, I get a lot of questions from strangers because I've kind of used my arms as a canvas and a tribute to breast cancer. I have breast cancer ribbons as tattoos on my arms, and I also have one on my left breast to cover up my scars and to also help me to remember the battle that I fought. And so when somebody in the street comes up to me and they ask me what those are on my arms, I tell them, well, they're ribbons. The one on my left arm is for the people that supported me, and the one on my right arm is what represents me when I went through it. And then they ask questions, and I go into it, and I give them a couple of statistics, and then I start telling my story, and that's when they start opening up to me and say, well, you know, my sister was just diagnosed, or my mother just passed away, and it's very sad to hear that somebody lost the battle, but it's also very triumphant when I hear that somebody won.
Of course. And when you say, like, I don't know why people are ashamed to say it, you know, it's something that you have to deal with it, you have to live with it. I mean, thank God I don't have it, and I feel for the people that have it. It's sad, but on the other hand, I say, like, okay, you have it, battle it, you know. Good Vira had to find solutions, maybe medical, maybe support groups, you know. I find those things will help you, and what you're doing is incredible, really incredible, and you fought it. I'm really happy that you were able to talk to us tonight and tell us what others could expect and what others should do.
Well, I know that there are probably some of your listeners that have recently been diagnosed or are waiting for a diagnosis or know somebody that is actually battling it now. And, you know, I'm going to tell you this openly. It is just as difficult for the loved ones to watch the actual cancer survivor to go through it than it is for the cancer survivor themselves, because the one that is actually watching the person battling it is helpless, and the only thing that they can offer is a helping hand, or to get up in the middle of the night and go to the store and buy club soda when they're nauseated, or to hold their hair back when they're throwing up, when they actually have hair, you know, and they're doing as much as they can, and it's very painful for them, and people don't acknowledge the supporters, you know, and the supporters are a huge part of survivors and survivorship. And for a breast cancer survivor or for a cancer survivor or a person going through it at all, it is a very, very scary place to be, because you are faced with the one thing that most of humanity is afraid to deal with, and that is your mortality. And when I was going through it, I wasn't certain if I was going to come out or not. There were a couple of times where I almost didn't make it. And when you're in that situation and you're laying in a hospital bed and you don't know whether the next breath you're going to take is going to be your last one, you actually start wondering, is there really a God? You know, is this it? There's so much in my life that I didn't get to do, that I wanted to do. and it's very humbling, and it changes your whole perspective on life, and you slow down, and you start appreciating things more, and you smell things that you never smelled before, and you change your personality, because it's who you were before might not have been the best person in the world, but afterwards, when you fought it and you faced your mortality, you turn into the best that you can be.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not... The way I look at things is, okay, God forbid, if I end up with one, not necessarily breast cancer or any type of cancer or any sickness that I will encounter in my life, I would look at it in the bright side that I'm going to fight this thing, I'm going to win it, you know? Don't you have to be mentally prepared as well, like to battle it, to say, okay, bidi hachtem as Ivan Tuchuna?
Okay.
Did you have to go through that, no?
I did.
Okay. Well, what else? What else can you tell us about awareness?
Well, let me tell you, I know earlier you had stated that your statistics were not up to date, and the website that you told me that you went to is not accurate, but if you go to SusanGComan.org and you search around in some history, you'll find out how the organization got started, and you can also find out some statistics. And from what I last heard, it was 1 in every 6 women is diagnosed with some form of breast cancer. And it's very disheartening when you read those statistics. And there are a lot of women out there that, and a lot of men too. In today's society, the economy is horrible, and a lot of people cannot afford health insurance. I know I was one of them, and my savings account, my husband's and my savings account was sucked dry because we couldn't afford health insurance, and we couldn't, and nobody would pick me up because I was such a high risk. And so we went through my complete savings. Our complete savings just to keep me alive, which I'm very grateful for, but we're suffering for it now. But the fact is I'm alive, and at that time I didn't know about the resources that were available to me until afterwards when I had already fought and gone through all my resources. But for somebody else who's just at the beginning, I want them to know that there are organizations that can help you. For instance, if you're here in the United States, and I don't know what information you can find in Canada, but I'm sure the Canadian government has implemented some sort of help for people with cancer. I'm sure they have some sort of cancer society. But here in the United States, they've got the American Cancer Society, who is ready, willing, and able to give you whatever reference you need to help you find pro bono healthcare, free clinics, free x-rays, free treatments. You just have to know where to look. And I know the Susan G. Komen Foundation, a lot of the fundraising that they do, all these walks that happen almost every month in the United States, all of these walks are to raise money so that women can get free mammograms and so that they can actually get help with their treatments and help with this and help with that. And these organizations have been set up for people that were in my situation. All you have to do is know where to look. And you just get on Google and you search for free cancer treatment or pro bono cancer treatment in whatever country you are, and a list of clinics will probably come up.
All right. Well, they say we have free Medicare in Canada, but if, God forbid, you're suffering like that, and they'll give you like an appointment maybe in 6 months.
That's not good.
No.
There have got to be other organizations out there.
I'm sure there are. Like you said, if you look in Google, you do your search in Google or any other search engines, you will be able to find help. I'm sure there's a lot of them in Canada as well, like there are in the United States.
I'm sure. I mean, cancer is worldwide. It's not biased to one geographical area. It affects every culture, every country, you know, every religion, every race.
Exactly.
And when it comes to the issue of cancer, there is no such thing as cultural biases. And there was one time a cancer survivor who I had come across in Fresno at the walk, and at that moment, she was from an opposing cultural background, and that's all I'm going to say because I don't want to get political, but she was from an opposing cultural background, and when I found out that she was a fellow survivor, my cultural differences with her meant nothing because she and I were, at that moment, warriors in pink. We were sisters because we fought through the same battle. We fought for our lives, and we experienced the same exact thing, and when cancer hits, those things don't matter anymore. They don't matter. There's a lot of stuff that I have noticed in society that people freak out about, but with my new perspective on life because of the cancer, I don't do that anymore. Now I'm more concerned with, am I going to have another great day tomorrow? Am I going to wake up without a stomach ache? You know, is my hair going to grow back a little bit more than it already has? You know, and am I going to start feeling normal again? Are the shooting pains going to stop? You know, because even though it's been a few months since I have been in remission, I still feel pains, you know, and I just want to feel normal again. And those are the things that matter the most. And, you know, a friend of mine on Facebook, she's also a friend in Fresno. She's in her mid-30s, and she just battled cancer as well. And she had a double mastectomy. And she's young, and she has two young children. And the other day we were comparing stories, she was going through her hope chest, and she found a Ziploc bag of her hair that she had lost when she was going through cancer. And I told her that it was ironic because I actually kept my lost hair in a Ziploc bag, and then we compared stories about how it happened. She, before she started her chemotherapy, she actually had her husband shave all of her hair off.
Oh, wow.
For me, when I lost my hair, I woke up one morning and my hair was on the pillow, all of it.
Oh, wow.
And so I stuck a scarf on my head and I went to the drugstore, got a pair of clippers, and I shaved my head. And so it's stories like these, little teeny stories, that band all of us together, and we can bring a little bit of humor into it. But then again, it makes you remember the horrible, horrible time that you went through and the biggest battle for your life. I mean, it is the ultimate biggest battle that you will ever face. And so for your listeners, I just want them to know that they are not alone and that there is somebody, one little teeny tiny person here in Los Angeles, California, that is here to listen to them, and I would be more than happy to be there for them if need be. And my husband, DJ Nico, would also do the same thing because he's got a heart of gold.
We know that. He puts up with me.
Well, believe me, he has a great respect for you. He loves you a lot. He talks about you often.
Yeah, I noticed that. Well, anyways, I want to thank you for talking to us, to our listeners. I'm hoping nobody will end up with this. Hopefully they'll find a cure one day. I don't know how close we are to that. They keep pumping money into that, but who knows? Who knows? I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that they will find a cure one day for cancer.
I'm hoping so too, and I do have the same hope as you that nobody ever gets cancer, but the sad, grim reality is that more and more every year, the cases are growing by leaps and bounds, and it's very sad. And I know one way that people can help is to donate to a cancer foundation, not only breast cancer, because, you know, there's so many more cancers out there, and cancers we've never even imagined.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you feel the need to help, you can always go onto the website and donate $5 or $10 or even $2 or $3, and those $2 or $3 make a big difference. And it could be the $2 or $3 that actually gives another person the ability to have a mammogram or an x-ray or a biopsy. It could be that deciding factor. So I encourage everybody to scrape together some change, go to your bank, stick it in your bank, and go online, use your debit card or your credit card, and donate to a cancer society of some sort and do it in the name or in the memory or in the honor of somebody who has fought it and won or fought it and lost.
Very well said. Okay, thank you. We will be speaking with you a lot more in the future, especially to DJ Nico.
Definitely, and I look forward to hearing that interview as well.
Yep.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure of mine. Wish you good luck and health. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, you just heard from a dear cancer patient, I would say, or a survivor, or she's battling it. Well, she says she's cured, and let's hope she stays that way, and let's hope they find a cure for this. Now we're going to continue with the show.
Hey, homo! Estos dos viejos renovando la historia. Dale!
Discuss it, find out help. If you need help, seek support. I don't know. I'm really shocked. I know about this. I've known people that have been affected by cancer, all kinds of cancers, not just breast cancer. Anyways, let's end the night on a good note. Let's hope everybody gets cured like Katina has, and they get to enjoy life. Just want to remind you, tomorrow night, we have Joren Murajan live from Montreal. He'll be on Trick Track with Set Track. Also, there are still some seats available for next week's Carnig event. So, don't forget, follow us on Facebook, make your reservations, call Hasmik, she'll seat you in a nice seat. Alright? Gaterdech. Now, enjoy the rest of the music, and I'll talk to you folks tomorrow night. Have a good evening, folks.
faci che rumare vre showroom. Una iumes, un show iumes, ma zera Achiuri pesti zaru. Yes, ce ditem te vor teriți tu e ca Caraci carnanți zărnaghi peți. Nu ce ca irim sărtimești serce car Ima sirocoven, yes. Gali se scali Mai se sare vot Gari se scari se stui in smot In chianchi aravot Gari se scari se stui in smot mai se sare vot Gari se scari se stui in smot In chianchi aravot Gari se scari se stui in smot Maises sare vot Galises, galises, duins mot In canchi aravot Galises, galises, duins mot Maises, maises, sare vot